Don't hold that against me. But a good to have William here with us tonight. Joy, he was aiming to walk up here. And the best I could tell, they come in a car. Shyle and Sue, they walked up here. And Sue, she's about out of breath. But she said she needs exercise. I agree with her on that. I do too. I held my arms up working on these lights. I was determined to get this light going tonight. I didn't get it going, but my arms have wore out. I need to exercise. Amen. Bible says bodily exercise profiteth little, but godly exercise profit much. I need both types. I need to exercise myself bodily or physically, and I also need to exercise myself spiritually also. Amen. Alright, I've been stalling. I said I was stalling. I about stalled all I can stall. Brenda was coming tonight with Jessica, and they've not showed up. And also, Billy and Sharon was coming tonight with the girls. And I'm going to turn these two mics off. We'll try to remember to turn the sound system off. Yeah, you might as well go ahead, Brother Melvin. We won't be preaching very long tonight, I don't think. The Lord can change it, I know that too. But I'm actually going to be preaching out of 1 Samuel chapter 30, but I'm going to read a passage out of Judges before I do. Judges chapter 8, talking about Gideon. And Gideon here, Judges chapter 8, verse 4, says, "Then Gideon came to Jordan, passed over, he and 300 men that were with him, faint, yet pursuing." And I want to stop there. That's what I'm going to use for a text tonight. Faint, yet pursuing. But I'm actually going to be preaching tonight out of 1 Samuel chapter 30. And you can be opening up your Bibles to 1 Samuel chapter 30. And we're going to be preaching kind of expository tonight. So I'll just go, Lord, in prayer, and you pray with me. Lord, we thank you, Father, for the privilege to be in your house tonight. We thank you, Father, for these that have gathered here tonight. And Lord, we pray, Lord, others will show up and join us. Lord, whether they do or whether they don't, we're so glad, Lord, to have this many. Lord, for the day and hour we're living in, Father, Lord, this is a great crowd to be in a Sunday night service. We're thankful for those that are here. Thank you for William coming tonight, for Joey, Lord, coming. And I know, Father, they're, Lord, a little late, but Lord, they're glad to be in the house of the Lord. I was glad to see them. And I pray others, Lord, will follow the same trend. Show up, Lord. And Lord, we just pray you'll help us in this message, dear Father, tonight. Lord, for the day and hour we're living in, I'd like to hear from heaven. And I pray, Lord, you'll provide that which is needed. And we'll thank you and praise you in Jesus' blessed name. Amen. Faint yet pursuing, Gideon said, and I just happened to read today while I was over at the church the entire book of Judges, and two times in there it mentioned, the very last verse, it mentioned every man done that which was right in his own eyes. And also, I didn't realize this, but in Judges 17 verse 6, mentions that same thing again. But we'll be preaching tonight out of 1 Samuel chapter 30. And actually what Gideon said, David did. And it said it came to pass, I mean, 1 Samuel chapter 30 verse 1, it came to pass when David and his men were come to Ziklag on the third day that the Amalekites had invaded the south and Ziklag and smitten Ziklag and burned it with fire and taken the women captives that were therein, and they slew not any, neither great nor small, but carried them away and went on their way. So David and his men came to the city, and behold, it was burnt with fire. Their wives and their sons and their daughters were taken captives, and David and the people that were with him lifted up their voice and wept until they had no more power to weep. And David's two wives were taken captives, Anahim, the Jezreelite, I think that's right, the Jezreelites, and Abigail, the wife of Nabal, the Carmelite. And verse 6 said, David was greatly distressed, for the people spake of stoning him, because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his son and for his daughters. But David encouraged himself and the Lord is God. And David said to Abiathar the priest, Amalek's son, I pray thee bring me hither the ephod. And Abiathar brought hither the ephod to David. And David inquired at the Lord, saying, Shall I pursue after this troop? Shall I overtake them? And he answered him, Pursue, for thou shalt surely overtake them, and without fail recover all. And I'll be reading some more here in a minute. But I want you to know this was a time of great distress, about like the day and hour we're living in. Things don't always go well. I promise you this, the Bible said all that live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. Jesus said in the world we'd have tribulation, but He said, Be of good comfort, I've overcome the world. I'll be honest, we don't understand why we can't have a little bit of heaven down here, and there is some to be had. But one thing you don't want to do is throw in a towel or raise up a white flag or even find yourself making a habit of complaining. I do. I find myself like Israel from time to time murmuring instead of thanking the Lord for all the blessings that He gives me, Brother James. I done found out when I sit down and count my blessings with Him, I found out I'm more blessed than I realize, and the blessings always outweigh all of the things that I think are so hard to bear with. But here David is. It's a low place. He can't get no further down. They've wept. There's no more tears left to weep. The people are not only discouraged, but they're even speaking about stoning David. And sometimes when things get so bad, people will think like that. They'll say, hey, let's just stone David. He's to blame. We play the blame game, and we blame this one, and we blame that one. And they were doing that. They said it's because of David. We don't have our sons and daughters and our wives. But the Bible said David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. When you do get down, I'm glad, praise, and I have been. I'm preaching, I guess, a message not to Eddie, I don't know. But I have been down. And I'm like David, I found out what I need to do when I get down is look to the hills from which cometh my help. The Psalm that said, my help cometh from the Lord, amen. And I'm glad, praise God, that the Bible said God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in time of trouble. And you don't have to look no further than Jesus to find all the help you need, amen. I tell you what, glory to God. He said all the gold is His. He said all the silver's mine. He said the cattle on 1,000 hills are His, and the taters in them, one preacher said. He said all the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. And He said all souls are mine. I mean, all belongs to Him. Molly, He's got power to give to whoever He wants to. I done something kind of stupid this morning. I finally got down on my knees and prayed the Lord revealed to me where that guy buried that treasure down in Santa Fe. I said, Lord, You reveal it to me. I'll drive down there and I'll dig it up. First of all, I'll pay Your tithes. I said, I'll take the rest of it, pay off my debts, and whatever's left, whatever You want, You tell me, I'll do it. Amen. I mean, glory to God. I tell you, I know where to go when I get in trouble. Amen. And I tell you what, buddy, I didn't really want to do that. That was my last option. But when you're 2 house payments behind, you ain't paid your property taxes, you'd be surprised how much fasting you do, how much praying you do, how far you'll go. As far as getting encouragement from the Lord, I'll tell you, I'm like David. I'm just trying to encourage myself in the Lord my God. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. But the Bible said here, he said, Lord, shall I pursue? Gideon said he was faint, yet pursuing. The Bible said, if thou faintest in adversity, thy strength indeed is small. You're going to have adversity. Just think about this for a minute. Has anybody ever read the book of Job?
Yeah.
All right. The book of Job is a book about a man in great adversity. But if God had not allowed all the things to come up on Job that He did, you'd never know what kind of man Job was. But through those 4 trials that Job went through, you find out that Job had faith, monumental faith Job had. I mean, here a man is, he's got everything there is to have, and he lost it all in a moment's time, because the devil said, let me have him, and he'll curse you in your face, and God said, you can have him, but don't touch his flesh, and the devil come down and robbed him of all of his wealth, and robbed him of his 10 children, and Job fell down, and shaved his head, and cast dust upon himself, and he said, the Lord giveth, and the Lord is taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Tell you what Job's doing there. He's encouraging himself in the Lord. He realized, but he might have been rich, but God made him rich. He said, I'm still believing the Lord to take care of me, his wife, and rightly so. I know we've got some women here tonight. Listen, you get bereaved of 10 children, you'll find out you'll get bitter too. And his wife, being bereaved of those 10 children, being bitter, she come to her husband Job. She said, dost thou still retain thine integrity? Curse God and die! I've always heard about a woman scorn. I believe she had a little bit of scorn in that statement. I don't know. My wife, sometimes she gets in that matter. I don't know. But listen, Job said to his wife, he said, you speak like a foolish woman. Shall we not receive good at the hand of the Lord? Shall we not receive also evil? And the Bible said in all of this, Job never charged God foolishly. Amen. But I want you to know in Job's situation, if he had never been in the Bible, you'd have never known what kind of man Job was. Right. Just take, for instance, nothing ever went wrong with Job. He just went through all his life just getting blessed, and having all and more than he knew what to do with. But when it was all gone, then he seen the real Job. If that wasn't enough, the old devil said, yea, skin for skin, all that a man's got, he'll give for his skin. Say, let me have him. I'll make him curse you in the face. And God again allowed the devil one more time to inflict pain upon Job. And he came down, boy, and he smote Job from the crown of his head to the sole of his foot with sore boils. And Job took a piece of broken pottery and scraped himself. And I tell you what, buddy, you read on further in there, and he said, though he slay me, yet will I trust in him. Amen. Man, you see Job in there, buddy. I mean, he's a true soldier. You see him, buddy. I mean, he's a real, a real seasoned Christian, I say. And I say that because, you know, all of us, the first thing that goes wrong with us, man, we don't just quit. Man, I tell you what, we start, sending out all kind of negative things, and we just quit and we ain't got nothing good to say about God. But when you're down like David is, what you need to do is encourage yourself in the Lord your God. And David inquired the Lord and said, shall I pursue? And God said, pursue, boy, you'll get it all back. And David pursued, verse 10. Now I'm going to skip a bunch of them. Verse 18 says, David recovered all. All that the Amalekites had taken away, and David rescued his two wives. You look down at the last of verse 19, it said, David recovered all. Now here's a man's down. He encouraged himself in the Lord. He is faint, yet pursuing. I'll tell you what, buddy, you find out if you just keep pursuing. The Bible said God's reward of those that diligently seek Him. And praise God, I'll take the reward of God over all the world's got to offer any time. I'll tell you, praise God, the things of God are not to be compared with the things of the world. The things of the world, they lose their good or no time money. But the things of God, they're true treasures, true riches. I'm telling you, get a hold of the things of God, and hallelujah, they're 10 times better than the things of the world. But David recovered all. Not only that, he shared the wealth of the spoils. Verse 21 through 31. But in the New Testament there in John chapter 11, you got a woman here named Martha. Her brother Lazarus, he's died. They say the Lord's coming. She run out to meet Jesus. And what she said, Martha, she said, Lord, if you'd been here. I thought about those words. Boy, if you'd been here. She said, Lord, if you'd been here, my brother had not died. I can just see despair in those words, if you'd have been here. I mean, buddy, I mean, she's down. She's pretty low. She's faint. She's not flying too high. She's brought down pretty low. Her brother's died. And she knows if Jesus had been there, her brother wouldn't have died. And she said, Lord, if you'd have been here. I'll tell you what, buddy, he's always there.
Yeah.
In some way or somehow. Sometime he's just there, Molly, just carrying you. Somebody had a dream one time about a guy walking in the sand, and he said, Lord, I noticed my lowest point. There wasn't but one set of footprints. God said, that's when I was carrying you, boy. There's a lot of truth to that. I'll tell you right now, God carries us on eagle's wings. We've seen an eagle today out there in front of our brother Arnold McGee High's and Brenda's house there, there's a big eagle left on the side of the road out there. Me and Jessica seen it this morning. I said, "You see that eagle?" She said, "Yeah, somebody done texted me and told me it was out there." I said, "Wow. I ain't figured all this stuff out yet, but I did see the eagle." But I'll tell you what, buddy, you find out what God will carry you on eagle's wings. And I'll tell you what, buddy, He'll give you grace. And if you need more, the Bible said He'll give you more. But she didn't just say, "Lord, if you'd have been here, my brother had not died." She went on to say in verse number 22, which is the next verse, she said, "But I know that even now, whatsoever thou ask of God, He'll give it to thee." She's pretty low, Brother Melvin. But even pretty low, she had faith. She said, "I know that even now." I mean, buddy, the Lord's done. He didn't arrive in time. Margaret, her brother's been dead 4 days. But she shows her faith. She said, "Lord, I know even now that if you'll ask God, He'll give it to you." Amen. I'm glad no matter how bad it gets, William. Praise God. She said, "I know even now. You can speak the word. My brother will live again." Now, I'll tell you a lot of things about God I don't really understand. But I'll tell you one thing I do understand. Ain't nothing impossible with Him. He does all things well. And things are impossible, man, are possible with God. And Martha, she's pretty low. And she said, "Lord, if you'd have been here, my brother had not died." But then she showed her face. She said, "But I know that even now, whatsoever thou ask of God, He'll give it to thee." Then Mary shows up. She's kind of held back. She stayed at the house. She didn't run out. She's low. She finally runs out, verse number 32, come to Jesus weeping. And she said, "Lord, if you'd have been here, my brother hadn't died." And the Bible said in verse number 33, when Jesus saw her weeping, verse 35, Jesus wept. I'll tell you what, buddy. I'll thank God for a Savior like that. Now you think about this a minute now. He's no less than God. The Bible said He's touched by the feeling of infirmities. And the Bible said He's a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. And here He is. He sees Mary. I mean, He's delayed Himself on purpose. He's trying to show them without a doubt who He is. The Jews believed you could still raise from the dead after 4 days. And after 4 days, you were declared legally dead, no hope of resurrecting at all. He had to wait 4 days. He told them Himself. He said, "I'm glad for your sakes I wasn't there to intend you might believe." A lot of things about that people don't understand. But He deliberately waited 4 days for the only purpose that He might show Himself to be the resurrection. And He came to the grave and said, "Lazarus, come forth." And Lazarus came out. And if He hadn't called Him a name, the whole graveyard got up. Because He is the resurrection. Glory to God. But the Bible said He wept. Man, oh man, I thank God for a Savior that's got emotion, got feeling. Buddy, you can feel that. Jesus wept. He saw Mary weeping, and He wept. In verse 44, Jesus raised their brother Lazarus. And I tell you what, buddy, they realized then, even though they were faint, even though they were down, praise God, He helped their faith. He helped them in that matter, amen. Then you got Abraham. The Bible said in Romans chapter number 4, verse 18, that who against hope believed in hope. I mean, here he is. He's 99 years old. God's promised him a son, and that's yet to be. And they did have one. It wasn't God's will for Ishmael to be born. But they did have a son because Sarah said, "Go into my handmaid Hagar, and she'll bear a son on my knees, and we'll call him your son." That wasn't the will of God. We've made a lot of mistakes like that. And I certainly couldn't throw a rock in that direction. But I want you to know, God told him he'd have a son at the appointed time, and it was completely impossible for Abraham, completely impossible for Sarah. It ceased with her, it's become women to have children. I mean, it's over. No way, no way possible. God came down and said, "This time, next year at the time of life, Sarah bear a son," and Sarah bore a son. She's 90-some years old. He's 99. And they found out, even though they're slow, if they just believe God, they found out God come through. Amen. Amen. The Bible said against hope, he believed in hope. It was possible. I mean, it was impossible. The doctor said, "Sorry. Nothing. It's beyond time. There's nothing that we can offer you." But I'm glad when the doctors can't offer nothing, that God can. Amen. When the doctors say, "It's over." I think it was Sister Glenna Mann, bless her memory, that they told her, what was it? She had 2 or 3 weeks to live. Man, she come back church on how many times we had, how many services out there at her house. Now, the last time she come in here, she's in a wheelchair. But even in a wheelchair, she's praising the Lord, amen. But what they tell us, she had a week to live, called her family in, and a little charity fell upon her neck, kissed her, said, "Grandma, don't leave me." And now, I tell you what, against all odds, she showed that the doctors didn't have the final say. Glenna, I'll say one thing about Glenna, buddy. She showed her face. She left behind a testimony, glory to God. I remember her brother talking, her brother Freddie. I said, "Freddie, I sure would like you come sometime and let some singers show up over here one Sunday night." And sure enough, here her brother Freddie showed up. I said, "Freddie, I'm glad you come." He said, I said, "Brother Freddie, I said, I've been looking for a day you come." He said, "Me too." And he got to come. But you know what? That's more Glenna's doing. It was mine. But the Bible said Abraham, who against hope believed in hope, and the Bible said in Romans 4, verse 20, that he staggered not at the promise of God. Now, that's important. God's made a lot of promises to you and me. Matter of fact, Peter said unto us, "Are given exceeding great and precious promises to usward." And I want to claim them promises. Y'all may not pray like I do, but I claim the Word of God when I pray. I mean, I get down there and I tell God, I say, "Lord, your word says in Psalm 34, verse 6, this poor man cried, and the Lord heard him, saved him out of all his troubles. Your word says in Psalms 18, in my distress I cried, and the Lord heard me and sent and drew me out of many waters." And I tell him, Jeremiah 33:3, "But call upon me in day of trouble, and I'll show you great mighty things you know not." I tell him, I say, "Lord, your word says in the book of Malachi, try me and prove me, see if I'll not show myself poor out of blessing the room cannot contain." Amen. I mean, God, He's a man of His Word. If He take His Word and He stagger not at the promise of God, I don't care how faint you are, I don't care how far you are, I'm telling you, glory to God, you can find Him, amen. Hallelujah, glory. Man, I don't know about y'all, but when you need God, I'm glad, praise God, He'll show up. Hallelujah. The Bible said in verse 21, the next verse, that Abraham was fully persuaded that what God had promised, he was able to perform. Listen, if you're not fully persuaded, get fully persuaded. I'm expecting him to come with a trumpet call. So Al's going to raise the dead. Glory to God, I'm going to peel like a banana and leave out of here. Hallelujah. Sooner the better. I'm surprised to still be here. I told Margaret I probably wouldn't be here. She said, "You're here." I said, "Yeah, but not because I want to be." Man, I'll tell you right now, I've got a greater desire. I'm like Paul. I got a desire to part be a Christ. Far better, but to remain here evidently is needful. But I'll tell you right now, glory to God, He's able to perform that which He's promised. Hallelujah. And no matter how faint you are, no matter how far down you are, glory to God, He's still enough. Amen. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 13, again talking about Abraham. Said when God made that promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no greater, he swore by himself, and Abraham believed that. Matter of fact, Hebrews 11, verse 19, said that Abraham believed that God was even to raise up Isaac, even from the dead. Abraham may have been faint, but he pursued. He followed everything God told him to do. And I tell you what, buddy, he filled his days, and all the promises that God promised Abraham became real. You look at Israel over there in their land. Today I read the book of Judges back there in the back, and they had a big controversy in there about Israel being in this land. And I can't remember the guy's name, but he was born from a harlot. Amalek or somebody, I don't remember his name, but he said, "You better check again." He said, "We didn't take that land, God gave it to us." I tell you what, buddy, it seemed like it repeated what's going on today. The Palestinians and all them over there said about Israel, they said, "You took this land." They didn't take it, God gave it to them, amen. Hallelujah, God, it's God's to give. All the earth's His. All the souls are His. It's His to give to whoever He wants to, amen. He's got a right to give, Joey. And I'm going to tell you right now, buddy, when God gives, He gives big, big handfuls, amen. But anyway, He gave that land to them. He said, "It's yours, rise up, take possession, I'll give it to you." He promised it to Abraham. He said, "Abraham, look to the left, look to the east, look to the west, look to the north, look to the south. I'm going to give it all to you, boy. And glory to God, it's my land. And I'll tell you what, the world may not like it, but I want you to know He's God, amen." Amen. Now I may take a victory lap. Hallelujah. Now I didn't realize God gave that land to them. It's theirs because He gave it to them. Somebody made a big deal, said, we took this land from the Indians, we're to give it back. Listen, God raised up His nation. What did He do it for? To evangelize the world. Every single missionary come to America, all the darkened corners of Africa, Indonesia, China, Japan, were missioned by missionaries that were sent from America. How in the world else could God take the gospel to the whole world? He raised up this nation, America. And I'll tell you what, it stood 10 foot tall. Other nations envied this nation, wondered what was so great about America. They sent spies over here, and they went everywhere. And finally, one of those spies went into the Church of America, and they come back with this report, and he said, I'll tell you what's so great about America. It's the churches in America. And they said, we'll attack them. We'll creep in. We'll put in a different Bible. We'll put in a different doctrine. We'll attack those churches. And the Bible says, certain men creeped in otherwise. Amen. Tell you what, boy, I thank God for churches still know the Word.
Yeah.
It's the Word of God, not to be messed with. I thank God for men of God and know the worth of that Word. I thank God for churches that haven't fell by the wayside. But I want you to know, buddy, we'll come down to a Laodicean age, and just like it ended up right there in the book of Judges, every man's doing that which is right in his own eyes.
Yeah.
Jesus said, you do err not knowing the Scriptures.
Amen.
The Bible said, nevertheless, what saith the Scripture? I tell you what, buddy, if it don't line up the Scripture, it's prone to fail. But if it lines up that Bible, I'll tell you what, I don't care how faint it gets. I don't care how far down it gets. It's not going to fail.
Right.
So, it's going to make it. Because I'll tell you what God did. He put a blessing on that Word. He magnified above all His name, settled it in the heavens, commanded 1,000 generations. He said, so shall my word be, go forth out of my mouth. It'll prosper the thing it's sent to do and not return to me void. I'll tell you what, buddy, that word of God's from heaven. Hey, it's got a heavenly touch upon it. It still gets the job done. That's why Paul told Timothy, preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, and exhort with all own suffering and doctrine. For the time will come, they'll not endure sound doctrine, but at their own lust of the heat themselves. Teachers have an itch and ears and be turned from the truth to a fable, and that's exactly where we're at, amen. They come in our churches. They've brought some kind of jungle beet out of Africa, and it does feed the flesh, pills the flesh, and we start tapping the foot, and that thing it's of God. I'll tell you right now, but I'd rather have the Holy Spirit quicken me. Now, I'd rather have little Katie up here and little Skyland up here, and even though you can't hear them, I'll tell you what, buddy, they got a touch of God upon them. I'd rather have them than anybody else that there is. I'll tell you right now, buddy, if it's got a touch of God on, that's what I'm interested in.
Amen.
I don't mind getting down. I'm faint. You're pursuing. I know what doing to get down. You read there where David, you know why he's in there? He's just telling you what to do when you get down. He encouraged himself, William, and the Lord his God. He said, hold on a minute. He said, God's still sitting up on the throne. He's still in charge. He's still got all I need. He's more than able to supply my need out of His riches and glory. Praise the Lord. I'll tell you what to do when you get down. Get to God. Say, we need to talk. I remember hearing one time, I went to a revival down at the First Church down in Preacherville, down there where you always talking about, Brother Bobby. And this guy was preaching that revival was a full-blooded Indian. And up there where he's a pastor, and they was having a little bit of a bickering in there, and he thought he could handle it, and he finally realized he couldn't handle it. I was there tonight. He preached his message, and he said, finally, he said, I done had all I could take of it. He couldn't do nothing with it. He said, I just went out in the woods up there. He said, I cleared me out of the spot, got down. He said, Lord, that's your church. It's your problem. You fix it. And he said, I felt like I'd done a good job of telling the Lord all about it. He said, I went to church. And he said, buddy, I tell you what, we started singing congregational hymns. Next thing I know, these over here and had a neck hugging. And he said, I stood there and watched, and I said, well, Lord, you sure did it. And he said, all of a sudden, buddy, there's a singing, rejoicing, and hallelujah, worshiping God. But he said, I had to just let the Lord do the work, not me. That's what I've got to learn to do. I've got to let the Lord do the work. Amen. I tell you what, when you put the responsibility where it belongs, the Bible said that the Lord purchased the church with His own blood. He's the head of the church. He's the chief cornerstone. He said, on this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail. If we get in the Lord's church, if we listen to the Lord's word, if we let the Lord's Spirit lead us, I'll tell you what, we'll not go far away from the will of God. Amen. I promise you this, there's churches tonight. I believe it was Molly telling me about her brother having some problems in her church. He's not the only one. Man, it's epidemic. It's everywhere. But I'll tell you one thing, I still find no fault in Jesus. And there ain't no fault in that Word. There ain't no fault in the One that made everything. Somebody said, if God's who He is, how come that little 14-year-old girl died, didn't get to go no further than 14? I'll tell you right now, He knows what He's doing. He knows when to plant, knows when to pluck. The Bible so talks about our days are numbered. We live in numbered days. I don't know what number mine, but hers just happened to be 14 years. And child, I don't know the number of yours, honey. But I know who holds the number of them.
Amen.
They're in good hands, honey. And sometimes the number of them excels. And sometimes the number of them is cut off because he got something better in mind, honey. I buried my little daughter. She lived 17 one week. God had something better in mind. I don't understand it now, but when I get to heaven, want to see her in that blessed place, I'll understand more about it. A lot of things about this world I can't explain. Don't make no sense, no way you look at it. But the way God looks at it, if you read Isaiah chapter 57, verse 1, you'll see a little bit of what God does. It says the righteous perish, and merciful men are taken away, and none consider. Notice it. None considereth that they're taken away from the evil that's to come. You see, if there's something around the corner, and I've got to go through some kind of sore suffering, some kind of sore trial, and God said, I believe you better just bring Eddie on home. And my wife said, why would the Lord take my husband, the only one in the family working, and we're just trying to kill him, but at least he'll still pull him a load. And God called me home, and there they are. Now they're without. Hallelujah. I'm shouting, woo! Glory! So you better come join me in this blessed place God made. John 14, Jesus said in verse 2, I go away to prepare a place for you. Heaven is a prepared place for prepared people.
Amen.
That have prepared themselves, prepared their heart, and made preparation.
That's right.
To leave when He comes. The Bible mentions a parable about 10 virgins. 5 were wise, they was prepared. 5 were foolish. They's unprepared. And the bridegroom came, Molly.
Yes.
And the 5 that were unwise, they said, give us of your oil, for we have no oil. And the wise said, we can't give you of our oil. We'll not have any. Go buy. And when they went out to get oil, William, bridegroom came and took them all away. And the door was shut. And the 5 foolish said, open it to us. And he said, too late. Door shut. Be prepared to meet Him at His coming. Be prepared at any time. Jesus said, in an hour you think not, the Son of Man comes. To be this normal day, like today. Hallelujah. I like to think about leaving. I think about it a lot. Man, hallelujah. It's on my mind more than it ever has been. I guess the Lord just get me weaned off this world. I don't know how to explain it, but I have to admit, buddy, my roots don't run too deep. And I'm so heavenly minded, I'm expecting any minute to kick up gold dust, Brother Bobby. Hallelujah. Glory! Man, oh man, don't count me out. Woo! I might be faint, Brother Mary, but I'm still pursuing. Woo! Hallelujah! Hell, man, the world looks at that and says, boy, I say glory to God. I'd rather be in the will of God than anybody I can think of. Amen! Hallelujah! Woo! Man, oh man, I don't know how this is going to go out on the internet. But I'll tell you one thing. You can count on me. I might be faint, but I'm still pursuing. Lord, we thank You, Father, for the Word of God. We thank You, Father, for the encouragement from the message tonight. Lord, I don't know if it benefited anybody but me. But I do pray, dear Father, tonight You direct this message where it needs to be. I pray, dear Lord, tonight maybe it encouraged someone to go another mile. Maybe it encouraged someone to rededicate. I don't know, Lord. I'm like Paul, Thou knowest. But I do pray, dear Father, tonight whatever needs to be done, I pray to be done of God. not be able to be spoken against. We'll thank and praise you in the blessed name. It's above every name. Ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. I'd like to ask everybody to stand tonight. I don't know how the word came to you, but if you need to come tonight, for whatever reason you come, we'd be glad to get down there and pray with you. Be glad to help in any way we can. The best thing I advise you is don't get too far from Jesus. Cleansing power, you washed in the blood of the Lamb. Be sure. Be sure tonight. The Bible said, whatsoever is not afraid to see. It said, make your congregation share to the preacher. But also it says, make yourself share to the believer. It says, examine yourself, prove yourself, tell yourself what Christ is in you. Be sure. Make things like that sure. Eternity's a long time to spend the wrong place. And a lot of people will. You won't tell people go to hell. People that love this ready. That's why it says there in Matthew chapter 11. It says, Lord, did we preach in your name? Did we not cast out devils in your name? Did we not give men right works in your name? And the Lord said unto them, he said, I'll say to them, depart from me, I know you not. He said, I've never knew you if you worship me. He knows me. He didn't say, I never knew you. Maybe he knows me as of April 27, 1988. Is there a day you can say the Lord knows me as of that day? First time today, why I'm making day? Why I come up here and say, Lord, I want to be known in heaven. I want my heart given to you. I want my name put in the book. My name put on the blood. I want to join the family of God and be ready for that. Let's come. Be white, pure and white in the blood of the Lamb. You'll be ready for those bags of bright and be washed in the blood of the Lamb. Yes, I am, glory. In the blood, in the soul, cleansing blood of the Lamb. Yes, my garments are spotless. Yes, they're white as snow. Thanks to the blood, they cleanse my all sin. Sign the garments that are stained with sin and be washed in the blood of the Lamb. There's a done flowing for the soul unclean. Oh, be washed in the blood of the Lamb. If you need to come, come. In the blood, in the soul cleansing blood of the Lamb. Your garments spotless, are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? All right, I trust everybody obeyed the Lord tonight. Maybe somebody's got a word on your heart. If you do, we'll give you the opportunity to give that word. If not, we'll be dismissed. I'd like to thank everybody for coming tonight. Hallelujah.
I want you all to remember me. I've got to go to Somerset and
Texas. We'll do that, Sister Sue. We'll be glad to do that. Remember Sister Sue Taylor? She's got to go for some tests this week. Is that right?
Yeah.
Remember her? It's always a blessing to have her. She brought little Shiloh with her and Joey, her son. I went down and talked to your daughter, Nikki, tried to get her to come. We've been working on her. You got something back there, young lady?
I praise the Lord.
Yeah.
Save my soul, the whole child, and pray for me that I may hold thou faithful and gain that home of
heaven. God bless you. I like her testimony. She said, I just want to praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. Anybody else got a word in your heart tonight?
I want to pray to the Lord. I want to thank you for the word.
Bless you, Molly.
Thank you for the cross, and I thank you for the blood, and I thank you for that stone that was
Amen.
Today.
Yeah.
You know, people that don't know him do not know what they're missing.
That's right.
We got trials and tribulations here on earth. That
a lot of affliction.
Don't never forget. He's right there.
Not affliction.
I praise him and I thank him for the things he's took me through. And
bless you, Mommy.
Taking me through.
Bless
I
your
praise
heart.
Him for everything that he's poured out on me here on earth because I know it was him.
Bless your heart. Amen.
I love him and I wouldn't live my life no other way.
God bless. That's better than a message. Amen. Hallelujah. The Bible said we know that our light affliction worketh a far more exceeding great reward in heaven. I promise you this. God's going to reward you for all you've suffered. When He starts passing them rewards out, and He puts them crowns on, somebody said, boy, I wish I had a crown like that. I pass you, say, yeah, but would you want to go through what they went through to get it? Hallelujah. Amen.
You know, I watched some things on the TV this week about people that was out of body into heaven and out of body into hell.
Yeah.
And this one guy, I thought, my God, if people could only see.
Right.
The guy just got about bed to go to the kitchen to give him a drink of water, and he was thrown into hell.
Yeah.
And he said there was creatures there, and he's telling me that they were, and fingernails how they were, and they just reached out and clawed him and pulled him, and he got away. He said the smell and the stench and the maggots that were eating on
the floor. Remember me talking about the worm bite, not?
And I thought, if one could just open up and let people just get just a glimpse of hell, just look in, they would change their mind.
I agree. The Lord tried to convey how bad hell was.
God died for us not to go there.
That's right.
That was for the devil and his angels. And if you choose to go there, you can't blame God or you can't blame...
Oh, they'll amen the sentence. They will. Everybody will amen the sentence to say, I should have repented. I should have received the Lord.
But there was always, you know, there was also people talking about heaven and what they seen, what beauty.
Amen.
I know myself. I don't want to look back there.
Bless
There's
you.
Nothing back there for me. I've come too far to look back.
That's right.
And like I said, I love Him and I praise His holy name tonight.
Yeah, well, that's why I looked back and it was a terrible look. She was turned into a pillar of salt. And Jesus made a reference to her. He said, remember Lot's wife.
Yeah.
He was just saying, don't look back. Molly said she wasn't going to look back. She was going to look unto Jesus. Amen. Yeah. I tell you what, I can't wait to see Him, but I ain't going to look nowhere but to Him, amen.
Before I became a Christian, I never looked up. I really couldn't tell you what this world really looked like. I was just going through it.
Right.
Now I see God's beauty.
Amen.
I see His beauty now.
Amen.
I'm looking up now. I'm not looking down.
God bless you. God bless you, Molly. Praise the Lord. I appreciate the testimony. Maybe somebody else got a testimony before we leave.
No, thank God. You know, I go around different churches and I watch people, you know, and the way they act. And I say, God, don't let me judge nobody.
Yes, you will.
Let me tell the truth, you know. And, you know, a lot of times, you watch people. I've watched it over years. I go to church.
Yeah.
And they start out real good. And then they get in a situation like Paul said, not to get in. Said, don't follow me as I follow Christ.
Right. Follow me as I follow.
A lot of times, a lot of them people I've seen, you know, people that used to have a great love for me.
Bless you, brother.
You know, I can feel that it's not there like it used to be.
Yeah.
Because they got more people that the more interesting to listen to than me.
Right.
So they put me kind of on the back shelf and kind of tap me on the shoulder, you know, as you walk by and let them, you know.
Right.
Just really raise them up high, which that's all right. But God said you don't have to respect the person.
That's true.
If we got to respect the person according to the scripture. The Bible says you got to respect the person. It's sin.
Yeah.
And it's very easy to have respect the person.
It's true.
I don't care how old it is, how it looks. We don't, if it's a, and I ain't going off no. I don't care how beautiful. If it's a beautiful person in the world or an ugly person, God loves one of them.
That's right.
Does another.
That's right.
God, I'm afraid a lot of people are going to miss it.
You're right.
We're going to have people going to have to come humble before God.
Bible said.
Get the pride out.
Said the last days. Said the love of many wax cold.
Love of many wax
Jesus
cold.
Said, by this men will know you're my disciples because you have love one to another.
Mm-hmm.
And He told us to love as He loved them. He said, as I've loved you, so love you one another.
Yeah.
That wasn't a suggestion, that was a commandment, that we love one another. And the Bible said love's of God. And He said, hereby we know we pass from death and life because we love the brethren. It's one of the evidences. I didn't know nobody any way until I got saved. But I have to admit now that I'm saved, I don't think too much about hate, I think about everybody else. But we're glad to have you tonight, William.
Yeah, you know, I like to say one more thing, you know, I don't judge, I'm not there. But the Bible says the love of money is the root of all evil.
The love
you
of
you look all over the television networks.
Yeah.
$7,000,000, $7,000,000,
$7,000,000.
Yeah. Yeah. You're well, right. You say, well, I got church. I ain't got 4 or 5 people. Would you send me $50? Just say, well, oh, you send me something.
Yeah.
Say, you know. That's not that right. So God loves a little people. You ain't
that's
got too many people, but too quick and too. God loves you just as good as you.
Oh, yeah.
Somebody with $100,000.
That's true, Brother William.
People don't want to hear you say that. That's true, though,
ain't it? A lot of people misquote that, and they say money is the root of all evil, but it says the love of money is the root of all evil.
Yeah.
Quote it right there, brother. And good to have you here, and I hope to make you happy coming back.
Amen.
Good to see you. Is anybody else standing in your heart tonight? If not, we finished right on time, looks like. No.
I believe the Bible says you love you, keep my commandments.
That's right. You're right, Brother Melvin.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's her, proves her love for
you. You know, I always want to say this. I really believe in my heart that there'll be people just barely making it to heaven.
That's what Job said.
I really believe.
He said, I saved by the skin of my teeth.
You know, Paul said, him, but just a hair of my teeth.
Yeah. Paul said, by the grace of God, I am what I am. And the grace of God will get you in, brother.
Because every time you get up, those people start aggravating. If you don't watch, they make you lose your temper. And I'm trying, I say, Lord, help me, not saying I shouldn't say, you know, here they are. I'm actually making fun of mocking, but just pray for them, huh?
I almost preached tonight on that natural man, that spiritual man. Yeah. Yeah. I had three messages the Lord gave me. I couldn't decide which one he wanted to preach tonight. And I sat here all day long seeking the Lord. But I almost preached about that natural man, that spiritual man. Lord, let me know when I can. But I almost preached what you just said right there. Good to have you tonight here, William.
Yeah,
anybody else got a word? If not, let's all stand. And Brother James, you dismiss us. Word of prayer there, brother.
Lord, thank you for another day. Thank you for receiving. Thank you for all the blessings.